Glenn, grateful alcoholic. And thank the committee for having me. Not knowing enough to not have me, you just have me. And so, but somebody said they listened to a tape or something. So we got through that. And thanks, Joni. It is good to have friends here. And when I saw Trish and Scott from Washington, I thought, oh my God, we are Thelma and Louise. We've been on so many road trips together up in Washington and Texas and Lake Forest and you name it. And so, and then homeboy here, and he taught me how to do gang signs. I learned them all. I'm a former Girl Scout leader, so big feather in my cap. And thank you. And Nathan and I started doing this from the gate. We've been on this whole journey together. I've been here since June 30th, 1982, and I'm not leaving. There's just nobody else will put up with me, and nobody else will have me. And on June 30th, 1982, I'd done one of those desperate prayers. I don't know if you've ever done one, but probably have. And you say a prayer that nobody's, doesn't even make any sense. But it was something like, I don't even know if you're there, but if you are, you better kick in because this is so bad. I didn't know I had the progressive disease of alcoholism. I had no idea. And not to offend anybody, but I was just shooting for Al-Anon. I was, I'm better at being good, and they're bad, and then I forgive them, and then I get a couch. That's kind of what we had arranged, you know. And I like good-looking alcoholics with potential. It always made me happy. I've been a service my whole life. And they just need a meatloaf and a good woman and, I don't know, Parents Magazine. A puppy. I didn't really know the whole thing, but I got most of my stuff from TV and the Donna Reed show. Father Knows Best, any of those, pick them all. They all slept in twin beds and had kids. I don't really get it. But I was born in Houston, Texas, and I grew up in Phoenix, and so I haven't been through Yuma since the 60s. And I am older than dirt, and just, but I wasn't. When we got here, we were perky, and we used to make fun of old people in meetings. So we were both young and perky and enthusiastic AA members, and we were new and young. There were these people, some of them in their 40s and 50s. I mean, it was serious. I was worried. And now I think Jesus are still upright, you know. No offense to the old timers, but I'm old. And I know they tried to be politically correct and change it to long timers, but I'm not, I'm shrinking. I am a shorter, I'm not a longer, I'm a shorter old person. I am. I'm spending more money getting things altered than I am on what they cost to buy them. So, okay, I digress. I'm back. Whew. I went to St. Agnes. I was a good little Catholic, cool kid. I was going to be a nun. Our order was the Blessed Virgin Mary, also known as BVMs. And I like nun stuff. I like the outfits. I like beads. I like statues and candles and ambiance and Latin. I like it. Wanted to be a nun. I don't bring up my childhood much because it doesn't seem relevant. I think Jesus, Mary, and Joseph could have raised me or the Charles Manson family. I don't know. I'm off. Born off, going to die off. It's just my perception of what happened I don't think is accurate. And the part I thought was accurate ended up not being accurate. Like, I'm actually Syrian and Lebanese, and I thought I was German my whole life. Thank God for DNA. I am not, I am a Middle Eastern person. That looks like a Jew from the Bronx. I mean, I can't even put all this together. But if you have the progressive disease of alcoholism, It's going to hang on. It's going to be something. I am a late starter. I was a periodic most of my life. I had a fake resume. I left home at 15. My oldest daughter will be 60 years old this year. We're having a bash while I'm still upright. You know, 60 years old. That's my baby girl. I have a picture of us. I was young. And I always thought, how hard could it be? Honestly, that's my motto. How hard could it be? Let's give it a go. I think I'm British. I'm just in for anything. And I came to California. Sailors will marry anybody. And so I married one. And I was 15, and we made meatloaf, and I got Parents Magazine. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You have to wait for episodes to see what to do next. But I was going to be a nun, and then I had my first drink, and then I couldn't be a nun the next day for that order in a general way. Okay. That's the Virgin Mary. I don't think so. So I became a go-go dancer. Many people know that. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm actually kind of inspired now that I think about it. But I wasn't actually cut out for go-going. Kind of cut out for more like the girl scout leader type. And so I couldn't be a nun. I couldn't really be a go-go dancer. And so I just became a fake person. It's exhausting. I don't know if you've ever tried to pretend like you're a legitimate person when you're not one, but it's exhausting. It's like holding in your stomach and you hope they don't find out. And that's what I was like. I just created a resume. In those days, they didn't have computers and they didn't check resumes. And I thought, if I walk by a campus, I became a poli-sci major. You know, I was like, I didn't really even know what that was, but I had one of the more impressive resumes I've ever seen. And I was sober 7 years before I told my boss, I said, part of this isn't accurate. And she said, well, let's start with what's accurate. And I said, my name. The rest of it's a little sketchy, you know. I worked 55 years in healthcare with 1 year off for bad behavior. And it started on a fake resume. But that's kind of the story of my life. I wanted to be what I wasn't. And what I wasn't is I wasn't comfortable in my skin. I was driven by 100 forms of fear. Self-pity, self-seeking, and self-delusion. That's true. I've always had that. I don't have stuff because of I was drinking. I was drinking because I had stuff. And it was going to be my solution, by the way. I would have never become an alcoholic on purpose. They're kind of tacky people. I don't know if you've met them, but scary. I'm a Girl Scout leader, Cub Scout leader. I'm kind of more conservative, unless I'm drunk. Natural. I am a natural. I never knew why those people drank. But if you've never drank, you don't really understand. It was very relaxing. I was just going for relaxing. I was going to relax, take the edge off, kick back, give myself a break. And if you have the progressive disease of alcoholism, it means it's not going to turn out that way. It's going to get progressively worse, by the way. So, is there anybody new here? Okay, I just want to warn you. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And I didn't know I had alcoholism. So on June 30th, to come into Alcoholics Anonymous on a wing and a prayer and a desperate moment, and I have a lady named Flo 12-step me, which I didn't know what that meant. And she says, I want you to call before you drink. And I just told her the truth. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even know what the truth was. I just made up this wonderful story. happily ever after story that wasn't accurate. And but I told her the truth. And she says, you have to call me before you drink. And so I thought you could drink here. They want you to call first. Check in. Let them know. I mean, that was what I thought she meant by that. So I thought, okay, no, never going to drink again. That is bad. That is evil. This is horrible. And then a couple hours later, you do realize you've overreacted, and they have your address, and they're coming to get you to be an AA. So, but it never occurred to me to not call her. She'd been very nice to me, and she said, call first, I'm calling first. So I called her and to let her know I was going to be drinking a little bit, certainly not a lot, but I'm tense, sober. Drunk, I'm fine. Very relaxed. I don't even care. Sober, I'm a little tense. So I call her, and I'm trying to explain it to her, and people in AA aren't as sharp as they look. She didn't get it, you know, my tenseness. But she talked me out of drinking. I thought, I said, no, I don't want to drink. I want to be an AA. Okay, got it. And, you know, now you got it for 2 hours. Now, she's dead, so I can say whatever I want. I think I called her every couple of hours. She said it was more like every hour, like desperate, pathetic. I don't know that's true. She's dead, but I'm sticking with a little dignity and grace every couple of hours. But finally, I'm going to put my foot down. Because these people are like a cult. Once they have your address, they are coming to get you. And you will be in AA. And so I'm going to call her, put my foot down, and speak slowly. Obviously, they're not that sharp. And so I have to go slow and clear. They didn't use boundaries, words like that then. But I thought, I have to set parameters. And what I said was, if you don't hurry and get here, I won't be able to be an AA. How weak is that? How pathetic. Hurry. You know, it was like that's what happened to me. I just had to hurry and get them there. And she came. It's like they know it's coming. Because I was on, I don't know if you've ever stayed sober all day, but it was long. And I was like, I'm never going to get through this whole day. It's just too much. And she came early, and that's how I got to be here today. Almost 44 years later. I'm not fine on my own. I'll do it. I do it a lot. But I like it better as soon as I see you. I feel better. When I'm alone, I think. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I'm into thinking. Page 86 in the big book says, upon awakening, I thought just once I'd like to do that on awakening. First, I worry. Then I think about how my back feels. Then I have to go to the bathroom. Then I have to get coffee. Then I have to start to think. Eventually, I get to on awakening. It's on page 86. It's really good stuff, but I've never done it in almost 44 years on awakening. I have a routine. It involves getting stressed out so that on awakening looks like a good thing. You know, it's like, on awakening, okay, thank God I've got that. And that's kind of what happened. June 30th, 1982, Thursday night, Lakeside Group. They make it, if you have old timers next to you, they poke you. And so the lady's poking me, which means you're supposed to do something, but if you don't know what you're supposed to do, you wait, and it's like you know. And you're supposed to say your name, and you're an alcoholic, and then how long they wanted that too, I thought. And so I said my name. I was alcoholic, and I had 11 hours. And they went nuts. They clapped louder for me than they got. The guy, Mark, got us 30-day or 90. I was like, one, I didn't buy that. I said, nobody's staying sober that long. But but they totally were into me. 11 hours? Yeah! I mean, they're totally excited. And they seem to understand that's long. That's a lot. And I was awake. I mean, I want credit for every minute of this nightmare. And not only did they clap a lot, but they told me to come back. Now, maybe you're one of those people that before AA, people were clapping, telling you to come back. That's not my story. Don't come back, and we're not proud of you. That was more like my story, you know. Here, we don't care. James was what, in your 50s, out of prison, got his driver's license. First time, let's have a party. Oh my God, James. You know, last year I gave him 25 years. Amazing. And Dana's put up with him for much of that. And Stephanie's supervising. Thank you very much, Steph. We are the people. Something's wrong with us. And yet, here's the program of suggested steps. I thought, I didn't really want steps. I wanted a boyfriend to be in AA with me. I like boyfriends. Go to AA dance and talk about God. I was perky then. Let's do it. And unfortunately, I was living in a 14-foot camping trailer, riding a bicycle, selling plasma. And, sorry, I don't know why I couldn't get a date. I thought, I have a lot going for me. I have been in healthcare. I used to have a phone. I used to have a calendar. I used to have a secretary. Now I'm bumbling around in there. Making up stories at the plasma place. I don't know if you've ever been to one. It's good many. And I ride my bicycle there, and I told him I was doing a thesis on the homeless. And I was trying to go in there like every day to get money and sell plasma, and they somehow figured out I wasn't doing a thesis on the homeless. That's good money then. And the only thing I could do was be an AA. I'd had to walk off the job after 12 years. I had a private office. I fake resume, I'll get you far if you know what you're doing, or fake it. And I just walked in. I'd been in AA almost 2 weeks, and I said, I can't work here. I said, I have to leave. I'm in AA. She went, what? I said, oh, I'm an alcoholic. I'm really bad. I was drinking here. I was drinking out of Tupperware. Like that, if you're a good mom, if you use Tupperware. I don't know what I was thinking. But she thought I wanted to take the afternoon off, and I said, I'm not going to be able to work and be an AA. It's like way too much for me. I'm going to be a coffee maker, though, if I get 90 days. And you know, I sound like a drooling mental patient. And then I could be a ticket girl on Saturday. I mean, it was just like, and she's like, go. You know, go be an AA. I thought, okay, I'm yours. I'm all yours, people. You know, and the old timers where I got sober were not that nice. People here have been pretty friendly, but Joni might remember some of them. I mean, they're just mean. They don't want you to find your inner child. They want you to find your inner adult. That's the one that's missing. And they tell you that. I mean, that's mean. It's true, but it's mean. And my sponsor would say, if I have to hear the daddy beat me story one more time, I'm going to puke. And she'd hang up on me. And if you're new, don't ever tell an old timer you have problems. Tell other newcomers. They care. Old timers give you service commitments. I had about 8,000 of them. I had no idea. They said, how are you doing? Oh, bad. Bad. Sad. Lost. Well, you sound like a greeter. I said, no. I need cash. You know, and so I couldn't get it moving along here the way I needed it to. And I rode my bicycle to Taco Leo's, and my sponsor didn't like self-pity. So I had to get creative. You know, so they, you tell them a story, they feel sorry for you, you get something, but they don't know, you just, I mean, it's, they call it manipulation, but whatever. I call it creative reframing. So I'm telling her this sad story, but trying to act like it's not sad so she'll feel sad. It's exhausting. That relationship about wore me out. And I'm on my bicycle, and I'm putting in the dimes that she gave me. They're called pay phones, if you're newer. And she said, I want you to go back and ask God to hold you tonight. Okay, I said, I'll jump on that one. I'm thinking a hairy chest. I mean, I don't think she understood my needs. And if you can't get a boyfriend, you'll ask God to hold you at night. That's what I found out. The only reason I made sure my relationship with him was right, because I tried to do that my whole life, was because I couldn't get a him. Small h. So I had to do to make sure your relationship with him, capital H, was right. That relationship's right. It all works out. I started working on that. Who would think of that? I'd never even heard of that. This will be the bright spot of somebody's day. I thought, get a life. I remember saying that. My sponsor, we did a lot of H and I together. And this will be the bright spot of our lives. And I thought, you people, get a life. And I'm reading that not long ago and I start crying because I thought, it's actually the bright spot of my life. Holy, who knew? That's how I got sober. People that love me enough to tell me the truth. I was not babied. I was loved, but I was not babied. I was pushed every step of the way. And if you said some big sad story, which I just make them up, in the bar you get a drink out of that. Here you get a service commitment. That's it. So they said, these are the steps we took. September 7th, 1982, I took my third step, and I had an experience. I worked so hard to drink away all the feelings. It's not like I didn't try to make sure they all went away. I couldn't handle it. And that day, I knew something. Following my third step, and I couldn't even explain it, but anybody that had taken their third step knew. They knew. They knew exactly what I didn't know how to say. They didn't know how to say it either, but it worked. And I thought, I knew. Which made me want to do my fourth and fifth. Now, the joke is, my column, fourth column, started with, what? What did I do? What? I had no idea it was a button pushing toe stepper. Who knows that? I didn't have a sponsor that waited. She said, your life's at stake. You're a jerk. You're manipulative. You're scared to death. I said, what? She helped me do a thorough fourth and fifth step so I could stay sober. The kids were gone for my first year of sobriety while I lived in that Pat Webster's front yard. Remember Pat and, what's his name, started with T? Nah, really? That was a dumb name. Anyway, Pat, we'll just go by Pat. Really? I think that was. Anyway, weird people, but they let me live in their front yard for free. Nice enough. So I could be an AA. What do you do? Nothing. I'm an AA. I'm going to be a coffee maker when I grow up. I'm a ticket girl at Saturday night speaker. I'm a greeter. I had about 13 H&I panels. When I did 6 and 7, I just was like a nerd. I'm still like a nerd, I'll just tell you. And anybody that knows me well would agree. I had to find a shelf to put my big book on so I could take it off the shelf so I could do 6 and 7 because it says, taking our book off the shelf. So I thought, I'm going to take it off the shelf. I need to find a shelf. I'm alone. This isn't even to impress people. I'm just weird. I get it down. I do 6 and 7. I swear to God, mean it. I'm like, holy geez. I want to be good, full of goodness. Like Mary Poppins and Mother Teresa rolled into one. I actually wanted to be that. And I was that for about 6 hours. I mean, good. Nice. Only thought good thoughts. Did good deeds. I had no idea what 6 and 7 meant. But I took it with all sincerity. And I took the book off the shelf because I've got a shelf to put the shelf. I wanted to be thorough. I didn't want to mess up. And the next day, if you do 6 and 7, swear to God, serious, you will get a 6 and 7 conscience. So the 6 and 7 conscience says, I thought you weren't going to do that anymore. Now that's money you don't need to spend on something you don't need. Why would you say anything about her? She's not even here. It just wouldn't shut up. I thought, I could still be bad, but you have to work harder at it. I mean, it wasn't that easy. Pretty soon you just start being better because you don't want to hear it. That 6 and 7 conscience, I still have it. Why'd you say that? That was dumb. Because I've left my filter in San Diego. What can I say? Usually I bring it with me. I have a spare in the glove compartment. It's like, who knew? People aren't recording all this. Oh, wait. Yeah, exactly. I'm freaking out. They helped me with 8 and 9. The kids are coming home, and he was sober 1 year, and it was my first year of sobriety. And that's what I needed. I needed a whole year to just be an AA. Somebody got me a job making sandwiches in a deli, Jack Ladd. And he was an old-timer, kind of crusty guy. Kind of creepy guy, wasn't he? Yeah, he was creepy. He's dead, so I can say he's creepy, but I kind of thought that then. But he got me a job making sandwiches in the deli, and I was there almost a year. And I rode my bicycle. I didn't even know what minimum wage was. I thought, how would people live on this? So my sponsors had put a lot of time and energy into step 8, and don't use your 4-step. Just read it first. And so she had me, there were a lot of people that I stepped on their toes and pushed their buttons that never made it to my 4-step. So I was glad she had me start with them because they got to make the list. They had never done anything to me. It was me. I was kind of a brat, kind of a problem person. I didn't know that. I thought it was you. I always wanted my dad to be a great dad. My mom had died when I was young. My poor dad. I swear to God, I did so many inventories on that guy because he just, you know, when don't measure up, you don't measure up. What can I say? Well, I finally got the inventory right and found out I'd always wanted him to be an incredible dad. I had not been an incredible daughter. And these steps are go first, you go first. I was like, I've been waiting for them to go first. And the steps are no, you go first. I thought, I got all this stuff. I've been in step study my whole sobriety, and I'm telling you something. I still need it. Margaret and Ken are here for my Friday step study. I mean, it's like I got a Thursday night living room group that meets in my house with women. Of August, it'll be 31 years. We're not playing. I'm in the middle of this. Kids came home, and I thought, and I kept doing this inventory of my dad, and finally I'm flying to Texas. I thought, I better be a good daughter. He's been a good dad. Oh, my God, poor guy. I felt so bad for him. And the day before, I'm going to meet him and see him and make my amends, and very heartfelt. I was about 4 years sober. We'll say my aunt tells me that's not my real dad. So what? Because I have spent years of inventory on this dad. And she says, I think you're Greek or Jewish. It was a restaurant owner at the where your mom worked. Didn't? Oh, I thought you knew. I'm like, what? My last name is Dreheim. Kind of German. I've been German my whole life. That's my dad, not your dad. You're Greek or Jewish. So I go to the Legacy Club outside of Houston, and in Texas, they don't get caught up in drama. They don't care, actually. So I go racing in there like Kramer. I am not German. I'm hyperventilating. I can't even breathe. And I'm going to see my dad in a few hours, and now this isn't my dad. And I was German, and I'm trying to explain coherently, kind of, to an old-timer named Lois. And she looked at me like I was on something, and she says, honey, a daddy's a daddy. Get over yourself. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, who? This is Oprah stuff in California. Texas, a daddy's a daddy. Get over yourself. And she said, you know, let's just have a little meeting on acceptance. Little California girl's got a problem. And they're all rolling their eyes. This is kind of big, people. But you don't open your mouth there. They carry weapons and everything. I mean, they're not playing there. It's a Texas AA at its finest. And they're not going to. And an hour, a topic, an old-timer, and a daddy's a daddy. Get over yourself. I thought, do I need to make this a psychodrama? Probably not. Could I? Oh, yeah. I've made up stuff that I've been more upset about, honestly. Didn't even happen. So I never told my dad I found out, because he didn't tell me, so I didn't tell him I knew. And I got to be the kind of daughter that he deserved to have. He'd always deserved to have it. He'd always been good enough. It was me. When you're driven by 100 forms of fear, self-pity, self-seeking, self-delusion, you will think it's them. I thought it was them. I didn't know. I've had the kind of sponsorship that said, uh-uh. You get away with nothing here. It's nice to be sober almost 44 years, but it's nicer to be excited that I'm still here. I'm ridiculously enthusiastic for somebody as old as I am. I need help getting off the floor, people. And yet, I have pom-poms that are AA pom-poms. Why? Because I love Alcoholics Anonymous and what you guys did for me. My kids are, Sharon will be 60 this year. My youngest daughter will turn 48. Got kids in between. I got 10 grandkids, 9 and 1 angel. Nathan passed away 5 years ago this week from drugs and alcohol, heroin laced with fentanyl. Sometimes he had been in recovery. And sometimes that one more time, that's how it turns out. And two nights later, his foster brother, my son's foster son, was shot 5 times and died on the scene. That happens. We're not a Rockwell family. I come from generations of disease and broken. Hurt and healing, what we've done. You hang out with us, you think we're Rockwells. We have fun. They all flew in when I had my 75th birthday. We went to the shooting range and went down to the dock. I had 11 great-grandkids. I am so old, I can't even believe it. I wanted a boyfriend, and I remember my sponsor saying, You know, he's looking for Prince Charming, and you're looking for Prince Charming, he's looking for a princess, and you are not one. Now, if that's not mean, I'm sorry, what is? It was true, but not the point. I needed a boyfriend. And when I really realized what I had to offer, I just got more into service and the kids and my job. You know, a credit rating, some money in the bank. I mean, it's fascinating what you could do on your own. And I got to do all that. I just thought, I don't want to need somebody. And as soon as I thought that, then I met him. And we were together till death do us part. And he had spoken that night, and we had swapped nights. And I said, I'll go up in a couple weeks. You go for tonight. They don't care who comes. They don't even care. Just somebody show up, because they said they'd have a meeting. And he took a couple of his sponsees, and he had a massive coronary on the way back, not far from home. And he was with two of his sponsees. And I'm getting the guest room ready at home. And when they called, and I'm not that deep, so don't get me wrong, but I could feel he was gone. I knew it. I already knew. And I'm with his sponsor, who was also his best friend. And he'd just gotten a clean bill of health 2 days before from his annual, you know. So they're good for 2 days. If your doctor tells you, you have a clean bill of health, 2 days. Just saying. Might want a second opinion. But I had seen Ed that day. I'd gone to the mall. Now, I'm not an extravagant shopper, but I was going to be extravagant and buy him bedroom slippers. You know, good ones. Because that guy could go through bedroom slippers in about 8 minutes. I swear to God, I've never met anybody that was harder in bedroom slippers. So Ed sees me. I'm at Nordstrom. I'm spending $100. I'm getting the best. They got tires on them. I mean, I'm not playing. This guy is not going to wear these out. And I ran into Ed, and he said, what are you doing? I said, don't tell him you saw me here. I bought these bedroom slippers, and he's going to die if he finds out how much they cost. Okay, fast forward. It's now 3 a.m. He's dead. Ed's crying. I'm crying. We're laughing. We don't know what to do. Kids are crying. People fly. I mean, it was just unexpected craziness. And Ed looked up. He was so sad. It was his turn to be so sad. And he says, you think somebody told him? I said, told him what? He said, how much the slippers cost? He said he'd be dead. He'd die if he found out how much they cost, and he's definitely dead. We probably laughed for 45 minutes. Now, that's funny. Then it was sad again. But that was funny. So we go to the 7 a.m. meeting. Everybody's weird because he's not in the spot. Everybody's like afraid to sit there, so nobody sits there. I don't know what I'm doing. I've been up all night, and I don't know what else to do but be in AA. It is my primary purpose, has been. So I go in there, and then all of a sudden, everybody's so weird when somebody dies. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. I kind of felt sorry for him because I don't know. So I told the slipper story, and everybody started cracking up. And they needed to laugh, and they needed to know I was okay and it was going to be okay. And then some guy says, you know, what size are the slippers? Thinking he's so, I said, they're way too big for you. And that was the end. Nobody else brought up the slippers because they thought, I'm not playing this game. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, whatever it was, I was up there talking. I don't think it was a good talk. I don't think it was, you know, wasn't funny. rough. It was hard, but I went. And I realized if you have a service commitment, just keep it. Because if you don't go because you're having a hard spot, there's going to be a few of those. Just go. Just show up if you say you're going to show up, and keep it if you're going to say you're going to keep it, and just do that. That's what I was taught. And so at the end of that meeting, which God only knows what I said, a guy came up and said he was on his way out to drink that night, and something Don had said had just gotten his attention. And he decided, no, he's going to stay sober no matter what. And he heard I was coming, and he wanted to tell me that. That's why I had to keep my commitment, because I would have missed that. My kids know and have known for almost 44 years, if I put you first, and if I make sure my relationship with him is right, that great events has come to pass for me and countless others, and my family's been part of that. They were more excited when they all flew out last year for my 75th birthday. They were more excited because the next day I turned 43. They talked about Gene and Skippy. They talked about the club. They talked about AA parties. They talked about Nathan and I at Spring Roundup. And we save up all year to have one room and bring sandwiches. I mean, we couldn't afford to go to a roundup. Not that we could now, but, at least we look like we could afford it now. Then we couldn't even pretend could do it. I owe you guys so much. You have no idea. I don't take this stuff for granted. I never have. I don't take you for granted. That's it. Thanks.